This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It is live. You brought me back to Printer's Alley.
Printer's Alley, yes, indeed.
That little bar in the cut back there.
Down in the basement, thing is where they got me. That's where they found me.
Did they? Oh,
yeah, that's where they
wow.
Found, that's where they found the subject.
God, man, I have thrown up multiple times in Printer's Alley. Wow. That was a time back there, boy. How about that? All right, the drive is live. There's Clint Sterner, Tyler Milner in the back. As you can see him on YouTube and Twitch, he's right there for you to say hello to. A lot to get to. It is a tape drop Tuesday. We will get there, but Clint, just in case people are just jumping in with us, we were discussing it just a bit there, but Brian Wacker.
Wacker.
That is. Are we sure
that's Wacker?
It is. I mean, it's...
what else could it be, right?
It's W-A-C-K-E-R. It could be Wacker. I think it's Wacker. Like,
can it be Waker?
No, I'm just saying at this point in juncture, I'm going first and my middle name is going to be my last name. Like I would be Ron Charles at that point. Whatever, and Brian just embraced the Wacker. But I mean,
I forget most outside of the city of Houston that I don't know personally. I will never forget Brian Wacker from Baltimore.
Brian Wacker.
Ten years from now, you bring up Wacker. I'm going to say that old boy from Baltimore.
Brian, yeah. Yep,
you talking
Brian.
About Tally or Brian?
Yeah, there you go. Brian, who covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. Again, I just believe somebody, maybe a grandfather, someone changed their last name to Wacker. I don't believe that there are multiple generations of Wackers. I believe somebody.
No, there said, definitely is, just not.
Just start it, man. Come on, man.
There's a world full of Wackers.
However that started, nah, man, I'm not going with Wacker. Davis, is that taken? Milner, is that taken? Just, you know, Wacker, not doing it. Anyway, Brian Wacker, the Baltimore Sun, said Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson could be out up to 2 to 3 weeks and is likely to miss Sunday's game against the visiting Houston Texans with a hamstring injury. Two sources with direct knowledge of the situation confirmed that to Brian Wacker and of the Baltimore Sun. So not only could he miss this game, he could be missing 2 to 3 weeks, which means it would be Cooper Rush time. And I am going to try to not jump quick to a conclusion, and I'm going to kind of try to wait this out a little bit. But obviously, when we talked about the guys out, Matabuke, their best defensive lineman, out. Roquan Smith, their best linebacker, out. Marlon Humphrey, their best corner, out. Held Nate Wiggins, who had been playing probably a little bit better than him, he's up in the air. As he got carted off with an elbow injury, he was there. They were holding it set. After he came out of the game on Sunday. And we'll see up in the air with their left tackle, Ronnie Stanley, their best offensive lineman. So they've got some problems, but obviously this is a whole different ball game with Lamar Jackson, and has changed the line in this game, as you heard from In the Loop, and completely changes the tenor of this game for the Texans, Clint.
Yeah, in a major way. I mean, you go from having to defend the I would say one of maybe two or three players in the league that there's really no defense for. I mean, you talk about a guy that's got some pretty sick arm talent. He's got a lot of experience in the league. And I mean, he is as electric with his legs as anybody, not any quarterback, but anybody in the league. You go from having to figure out how to defend that guy and slow that guy down with one of the best, if not the best running back in the game, coming downhill at you in Derrick Henry, you know, to, boy, you got a pretty vanilla offense that you're going to face this week, given all the injuries. So, yeah, it's an absolute game changer. I mean, if you're the Houston Texans, you got to be looking up and going, thank you, football gods,
you
right
take
now.
Take advantage of this.
Sitting at 1-3, you're in a rough spot, and you were staring down the barrel of Baltimore, Lamar Jackson. I mean, it was going to be a tough hill to climb, and now it looks like now you're still going to play a really, really good organization. That is, yes, right now people are banging on their defense. Right now people are talking about this team and the start that they're off to. But if you look at their opponents, they played three of the four games, they've played three of the best teams in football. In Kansas City, Detroit, and Buffalo. And they have not been great, but they have played some absolute horses relative to opponents.
With the exception of the Kansas City game, they were in all of them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so
they had second half leads in all of them.
Yeah, man. So I this is still a very healthy organization. But yeah, with all these injuries right now, the Texans are going to have as good an opportunity as you're ever going to have to beat the Baltimore Ravens in their backyard come Sunday afternoon. There's no doubt about it, Ron. The football gods are shining down on the Texans right now in a big way.
All right, that's one we will keep an eye on the rest of the week. Lamar Jackson likely to miss this game and maybe a couple of weeks.
By the way, this is one of those where I just talked about how healthy the organization is. You really got to question what the brass in Baltimore is doing with Cooper Rush being your backup quarterback for Lamar Jackson.
It's odd. You have to completely change the offense.
Think about it right now. If you just had a guy that was electric with his legs and did a crap shoot with his arm.
Washington has Marcus Mariota as the backup, and their offense didn't look a whole lot different than it.
But if you've got any, I mean, they've had guys there in the past that were skill set comparable. Now they weren't nearly as electric or nearly as good as Lamar, obviously, but skill set comparable. So you don't change. Like right now, going into this game, if you just had a quarterback that could hurt you with his legs, like you're still a pretty scary offense with the running game that you have, with the O line that you have, with the tight ends, you know, the game that you have. I mean, but Cooper Rush poses zero threat. He's going to sit back in the pocket and try. They're going to try to run the football and try to play action you and hope he can execute that. I mean, and I'm not knocking Cooper Rush. I just think the system that you're in, you know, just warrants a guy that can hurt you with his legs so that you can keep things as similar as possible. If Lamar does go down, it's just wild to think that an organization say, "Yeah, we're gonna roll with Cooper Rush." That's it. In today's world,
they hadn't really done that either. They hadn't had that type of quarterback as his backup for the most. Huntley.
They've had some guys in there that can move with their legs. But again, in today's world, I mean, you could draft guys late that played a lot of college football, but are mobile, and you got something to work with there. It's not like I'm not talking about going out and getting a first round pick or even a high paid veteran. I mean, you find somebody that has that skill set. Needless to say, being a Texans fan, I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad it's Cooper Rush, and he is going to threaten zero with his legs.
Yeah, it changes the entire game. By the way, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. Can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL. On CBS and Paramount Plus, watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with this matchup. We were just talking about the Texans and the Ravens. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, it is a tape drop Tuesday, Clint. What did you see? What did you see from the film this week?
Well, a lot of good. And again, I tried to view this, Ron, through the lens of, hey, what transitions really well? You know, what can we really sink our teeth into versus, boy, this was just because the Tennessee Titans ain't worth a damn. And I got to start with the guy that I've been the most critical of and the hardest on, and that's Dalton Schultz. It was better than I thought, boys. Mm. We all know he made himself available, as he has been, but just C.J. Stroud relied on him and gave him the football in the pass game, which I think changed it. It changed the whole complexion of the offense, the whole dynamic of the offense. Now you're staying ahead of the chains. Now you're baiting the defense down to do what they ultimately did, which was hit shots over the top. I think it was instrumental in what they want this offense to look like, and Dalton Schultz accomplished that. No doubt that he could if CJ would go to him. There was also the one shot that CJ missed, which wasn't as egregious as I thought it was, but it's still a ball that CJ has to throw better and at least give us a chance. There was also another shot play where, I mean, it is designed perfectly. Tip to cap to Nick Kaley. It is designed perfectly where they clear out an alleyway for Dalton Schultz, and he runs kind of a shoot route up the hash, up the top of the numbers, really. And I'm talking about it is absolute money, and CJ couldn't get back to him, but he was there. Point is, Dalton Schultz had a good day, 5 catches, 6 targets. It very easily could have been 6 catches, 75, 80 yards, you know, instead of 5 for 30 or whatever the heck it was. It very easily could have been twice the production from a yardage perspective. There were 2 shots that were Dalton Schultz that were left on the field. But, boys, the blocking from 86 – the blocking from Dalton Schultz.
The blocking, not just the pass.
Ron, blocking from Dalton Schultz. And I'm talking about effort. I'm talking about, I mean, moving your feet, staying attached. It looked like there was a different dude wearing 86. And not once. It was multiple times. It took me back because I have been told by people that I trust that the game, particularly run blocking at all levels, is being taught different, so you see a softer version of run blocking at the NFL level. It looked like somebody turned back the clock on Dalton Schultz. There's multiple plays, Ron, where he got his mitts on folks, he got his helmet in their chest, he continued to push, he continued to strain, and it showed big time. There was no just shielding and looking around. There was get your guy, block your guy, and make sure he stays out of the play multiple times. Man, I got to tip my cap to 86. I got to tip my cap to Dalton Schultz. That's what the hell I've been looking for, and that's what I'm talking about.
So
that's $12 million worth of tight end right there, partner.
You're saying it wasn't just good for Dalton Schultz.
No.
It was good for, you know, any tight end.
Yeah, no, it was. Now, I'm not saying that it's not. I'm not on here ranting and raving about it today because it was Dalton Schultz, but it was a really good job overall throughout the game by the tight end. And it was none of that just shielding crap that we've gotten used to seeing him and a lot of other guys do. There was none of that. Clearly, I don't know if it's Nick Kaley, I don't know who it is, but clearly somebody has talked to Dalton Schultz and said, hey man, you gotta get your mitts on people. You gotta drive folks. You gotta drive them until the whistle blows. No more of this just shielding and looking around stuff. Clearly, now I hope it translates to the next game, but clearly in this game, he had zero fear of anybody on that defense because he grabbed up a couple of guys and did work. Dalton Schultz should feel like a $12 million man today because it was a beautiful performance.
All right, I want to hear your thoughts on what you saw from C.J. Stroud and possibly the offensive line. Let's do that. Coming up on the other side, it is a tape drop Tuesday. We do this the day after every game that all 22 comes out. Clint takes a look at what he saw on the film. He's already loving what he saw from Dalton Schultz.
CA6.
CJ had him a nice day, his best game in a while. Offensive line looked pretty good for the most part, too. We'll get his thoughts on what he saw on a tape drop Tuesday from CJ and the line. That's coming up.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. Big news, it looks like Lamar Jackson, according to the Baltimore Sun and Brian Wacker, it looks like Lamar Jackson Sunday potentially is likely to miss the game against the Texans. So that is the big news of the morning coming up in Sunday's huge game for the Texans. They may have to play the Ravens with Cooper Rush as the starting quarterback. So that is the big news. But it is also a tape drop Tuesday, and I know you had a lot of praise for Dalton Schultz. Text line coming in said Schultz must be listening to 610. That's got to be what it is. But what was it that you saw after watching it a second time with C.J. Stroud?
Well, look, I thought he clearly had a low-to-high approach, and he executed it well. In other words, he was looking at the underneath stuff. He was getting to them, sometimes eliminating the deeper shots pre-snap and just getting directly to them, which is what veteran quarterbacks do. And ultimately, it's what has to happen if this offense is going to have a chance to grow roots here in Houston. If Nick Caley has any chance whatsoever, it's going to have to be a crazy amount of commitment to playing the game low to high from the quarterback perspective, and obviously executing it well. And he, without a doubt, did that. I think this was a game that was much needed for him to go in with that frame of mind, to execute it well, to have the explosion in the fourth quarter was huge, to understand how important it is to play that style of quarterback in this particular offense, to then have the shots open up. And when the shots did open up, boy, they opened up bigger than Christmas, right? They were obvious, this is where I'm working, and they were, relatively speaking, they were easy throws to make for C.J. Stroud, right? Nico Collins gets over the top with no safety help. He's got a 3 or 4 yard lead on Snead, the corner, with no deep help, no safety interfering. You look at Higgins. Higgins gets over the top versus a press slot corner. The safety was inched over towards Nico Collins. No deep help whatsoever. I mean, it's thoughtless. It's effortless. It's just, I mean, get the ball to him. And you're throwing it to a receiver that's got a 17, 18 foot, wing, a catch radius there. That's ridiculous. So, I'm trying to, Ron, explain why it's so important that the quarterback work low to high is it protects the offensive line. It keeps him healthy. It keeps us ahead of the chains. And it opens up the shots down the field. It does all of that. That's why I've always, since I've been in this chair, in this studio, I've always harped on screen game, quick game. You got to be really good in those areas. And if you are, you can slow down a rush. If you are, you can protect your quarterback. If you are, your offensive line doesn't have to be great. And the byproduct of it is, at some point in the game, those DBs and those linebackers, it's human nature, they start biting down, going, oh, he's going to get it out quick. I can undercut this one. I can get to it. I can jump this route. I can jump that route. And next thing you know, bang, over the top, 7 points. Easy, easy read, easy adjustment, and you're getting your young guys involved. It was tremendous, right? The shots were set up perfectly. They were timed perfectly. And by the way, anybody out there that's wondering, I know we got some text messages yesterday. Without a doubt, you can see it clear as day on the film. C.J. Stroud audibled. He motioned, I believe it was Hutchinson across the line of scrimmage, across the ball, right to left, which left Higgins, and I can't remember who it was, outside to his right. Clearly, the slot was pressed. He chops his ribs, which signaled Higgins the slot fade with the outside receiver stepping on the toes of the DB out there to make sure you get his eyes and his attention on you and he doesn't fall off underneath the slot fade. And it was absolutely money. So I thought he was tremendous, Ron, and I think this is the best version of CJ. Like, this is the most convincing version of CJ Stroud that I've seen since his rookie year.
I was going to say, yesterday. This was the closest we saw of him since the rookie year, where he seemed to be decisive in his decision, and many times knew where he was going before the snap.
Well, you can read things out and you can read them properly. And let's say Dalton Schultz is second or third in your read. Let's say you got a high low with Dalton Schultz underneath and you got a deep over route and you're trying to hit it in on the hash or between the hash and the number, right? If you work that high to low, Dalton Schultz is going to be standing there having created separation, and you're going to give the linebacker a chance to recover, right? And if you wait, if you read it low to high, if Dalton Schultz separates, you give him the ball right now, you protect everybody on the field. Yeah, you potentially miss the chunk play, but you protect everybody else on the field, including your offensive coordinator. And so, like, that was just flawless. And then you pick and choose when you want to hold the ball. You pick and choose when you want to throw low percentage throws. You pick and choose when you want to take shots instead of trying to determine that when you're in the huddle. CJ was really, really good. He did miss a couple of other throws that I thought were throws that he will typically make. Whether there was reads that he missed, a couple that I think he will make in the future, which again will put him up to 300 yards and 3 touchdowns type deal. But I think that'll come with time. That's to be expected when you're installing a new offense.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, that was the most encouraging thing. What about the offensive line? Because we've seen a lot of movement. We've seen the Lakin Tomlinson and Juice Scruggs thing. Is this a situation where they should probably stop with the switching? A lot of people feel like Juice has really made himself clear to be the guy there.
Well, I mean, the problem with Juice is when Juice misses, not that Lakin's above this, but when Juice misses, boy, he misses big. I mean, it's just like whiff, and next thing you know, he's blowing up a run, right? So,
God, who was that screwed up the Jeffrey Simmons thing? Where Jeffrey Simmons just came, I mean.
That was Ingram and the center. Andrews went right. Let me get this right. I'm sorry, Andrews. It was Ingram on Ingram himself. The whole offensive line went right. Ingram went left. Ingram literally ran smack dab into Ariante Ursher. Like, they ran into each other. And so it was just a free A-gap rush. That was just a mental mistake. It happens.
We don't like that.
I think it was Ingram. Was it?
Maybe Ed ran into Titus.
Yeah, it was the right guard coming towards the camera. Yeah, the right guard is Ingram, right? Yeah. Yeah, so it was Ingram. It was Titus. You're right. It was Ingram running into Titus instead of anyway, it was a blow by one of the guards. So it was just a mental mistake. I'm not worried about it at all. Unfortunately, it happened early in the game, but I'm not worried about it at all. But the offensive line I thought was tremendous. I thought the offensive line, with the exception of maybe two plays, I think they kept Simmons from wrecking the game. And Simmons is a guy, regardless of how good his team is or isn't, regardless of how good the defense that he's playing on is or isn't, he is a guy that from an interior perspective can absolutely wreck a game. He's a guy that can wreck a pocket, can create a lot of chaos around your quarterback.
He looked like he was on his way to doing it too early.
Well, he had a couple of he had some plays. Don't get
me
wrong.
But they kind of squeezed him down. Yeah, the last
look,
three quarters.
I thought in particular, Ron, I thought the double teams from the offensive line were tremendous. If you want to talk about the punch from whoever's helping in the double team was good. The movement that they were getting was really good. I've told you again, since I've been here, really, like the offensive line, the inability to ever move anybody with a double team has blown my mind, right? There's no movement. Then you watch other teams and there's a ton of movement, right? And then, so I was looking for that in particular, and man, it was good, man. Whether it was Juice and Andrews or Tomlinson and Andrews or Ingram and Andrews, like the interior O-line doubling down linemen and getting movement up to, because what happens, man, is when you get that movement, now when I'm an offensive lineman and I'm coming off of that double team to the linebacker, it's boom, boom, it's right there in my face. When you don't get movement, now as a guard, when I come off, now I got to try to catch this linebacker in space. Now he's got a two-way go on me. I got to try to catch him in space. It's significantly more difficult. When you get the movement on your double team, now it's literally you're half a step and you're in the grill of the linebacker who has a one-way go because you've already cut off two different directions moving that double team. So it's just critical that they get that accomplished. They did it Sunday, and I don't know how much it's going to transition, you know, into a better opponent, because I do think that Tennessee got a lot of quit in them, but it was good to see it happen on film versus another team, I can tell you that.
Yeah, they got better. They improved and got better. All right, coming up, I think we are finally potentially getting closer to more understanding on one of the, I would say, the most unusual situations surrounding the Texans. We'll talk about that coming up.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Up next.
I don't know what the hell is going on in H-Town.
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I mean, I know Tyler is, and I don't completely believe him. And not I believe Tyler believes this in his heart right now, but I don't completely believe him. Because Tyler's a sports fan. Tyler said he is out on watching any baseball playoffs. Not going to watch any of the games.
Won't watch a second.
Have you turned the channel in your have you turned the TV? Yes, you do. You don't even have it on.
When I was in the prep studio, I saw first pitch coming up for whatever two dingo squads are playing. I saw first pitch about starting. I changed it.
Well, you missed a great game. The Tigers and the Guardians. Sorry, Bob. The Tigers and the Guardians, 2-1. Scooble, again, dominant, 7 2/3. And the Tigers on the road win game one. They're one game away from moving on to the divisional series. I can understand it's going to hurt for a little bit, but you can get in. I believe by the time we get to the LCSs, I think you'll click it on, Tyler.
I am more likely not to watch any of the CSs, I would think.
I don't know, man. I love some good playoff baseball. And maybe for you, and I know you haven't, and some of you, it's been a while since 2016. You're just not quite used. I'm pretty used to my team not being in the playoffs. So I've got a lot of experience of just, you know, moving on.
I was in my early 20s.
Moving on with this thing. This is
29 years. This is a month early.
Yeah, it is.
This is a month early for us, man. I got to turn to them Texans, man. Them Texans and them Rockets, man. We got to get them Texans rolling.
You're going to jump in. You'll catch it. You'll catch Red Sox Yankees.
I'll catch the highlights.
You can't. You don't think you'll slide in for a game? You will. I bet you will too.
I really won't watch second.
Now I know you're not gonna watch nine. Hell, I don't think you're gonna watch seven.
I mean, the thing is, throughout the week, there's nothing on. So I mean, if you want to catch sports, it's gotta be obviously non-Astro baseball right now. So, I mean, look, I'm not gonna pay real close attention and know exactly what's going on.
This would be a sickening way to lose. If you're in Cleveland, I gotta sit down in my seat for a little bit. I mean, they're down 2-1 in the ninth inning. They get a grounder on the second base side of the base. Baez spikes it into the ground, and they get the tying run all the way to third with nobody out, and they lost. By the way,
sounds like Cleveland to me.
By the way, Ramirez gets thrown out in a pickle, trying to get home on a grounder to the pitcher, and he got his ass thrown out.
Crying ass shame, man. You got a runner on third, no outs, down one, bottom nine, and the ball never leaves the infield.
It sucks to suck.
They go strikeout, ground out to the pitcher, pop out to, I believe, the second baseman or shortstop. I mean, it just, whoo. I tell you what, yeah, I'd be sick.
I'd have to wait a second to grab my keys. I'd just have to sit there for a little bit. I let these kids out of school for this.
Luckily, the game started early enough. You can sit there. You can sit there as long as you'd like.
What did they probably get blasted in that parking lot? They're probably going out there. We've been down there. They're going to hit that casino right now. That whole downtown area, that is about
to. They got plenty of spots to go cheat. They can take the kids a couple of them spots.
Yeah, they can.
Tell the wife you're going to be home later. This is going to be a little longer afternoon than I thought.
Yeah, this got away from me.
The guy is drunk.
All right. So I think we got a little bit of clarity. Now, not really when D'Amico was asked about it yesterday about Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon, obviously eligible to come off. non-performance, one of them pup lists.
NFI?
NFI, yeah. He's able to come off the NFI pup after four games. But when D'Amico was asked about it, he just moved on to D'Nico Autry and Smith instead of addressing that. But later on, Aaron Wilson reports D'Amico Ryan specifically indicated that Joe Mixon is not ready to return at this time. Per sources, it will be much longer, if at all, for Mixon to get back on the field this season. So the timeline real quick. July 23rd, Joe Mixon was placed on the NFI list in a walking boot, expected to be okay fairly soon. Coming from the Texans. August 25th, Mixon is not activated from the NFI list, so guaranteed he would miss the first four games with some type of lower leg ankle injury is what was reported. Weeks leading up to the season, anonymous inside sources are telling people that Mixon will potentially miss the whole season. No details outside of that. And then yesterday, we get this from Aaron Wilson he's not going to be ready and could be much longer. I guess I throw this out to all of you. Do you think we've seen Joe for the last time in a Texans uniform?
Yeah, I think we've seen Joe Mixon for the last time.
No, God!
I think so.
Yeah. I think there is obviously an injury, but there is some level of trust that has been broken. There's some level of relationship that has been fractured. This is not the typical D'Amico Ryans. Hey man, look, we're going to worry about the players that are here that can play for us. There is clearly we're disgusted. We don't want to talk about it. We're out on Joe Mixon. There's an out, after this season anyway. And I think that probably plays a part. Look, Ron, I'm still at a point where, and I'm just trying to connect some dots here.
Because that's all we're left to do.
Yeah, right. I mean, I wonder if the Texans are going to try to recoup some of the millions of dollars that they're having to pay him this year.
It does feel like it's that bad, right? Feels like this isn't just football injury.
I don't think it's coincidence that what has leaked has been that Joe Mixon hurt his foot outside of Texans control, and then chose to go outside of Texans control medically and get some level of rehab, and I believe it was some kind of shots outside of Texans control, and those shots may have not taken well, or the injury didn't heal. And it's a lot of money to eat with a player that just is obviously going to go rogue and go do his own thing. Now, I don't know 100% sure if
all of that. And again, we're just putting things together.
Yeah, I'm just connecting dots. I mean, look, if this were my man had a foot injury and he was involved in all the Texans offseason, their doctors were taking care of everything, their treatments were didn't take, and he was still injured, I believe you would see Joe Mixon in the facility. I believe you would see Joe Mixon at practice. I believe there would be a different tone when people talk about Joe Mixon. At this point in time, Joe Mixon's talked about like he's never going to play with the Texans. Like he's not even an option this season. Like they don't even know what he's up to and where he's at and what he's doing. And so
yeah, he's in Oklahoma as far as they
yeah, well. Yeah.
We hope he's well.
We miss him. Well, yeah. I mean, when you were rotating four running backs through there, I bet you don't miss him right now.
And it's been easy layup things like, hey, what are you missing from the leadership of Joe? We hope Joe is all right.
Yeah, man. I'm at a point, Ron, where I'm forget about the play-in. I'm curious to know whether the organization is going to try to recoup some of that money or not. I mean, I don't know that you want to make a habit of you know with your players of when they get injured of taking money back. I don't know that you want to. I don't know if it's worth. I don't know if that heel is worth the climb or that view is worth the climb necessarily for the Texans. But I do wonder if that's still out there in this Joe Mixon saga.
See, Tyler was saying this in my ear, and I thought it was really comparative, but Tyler, this one almost feels different. Tyler said this feels a lot like Christian Harris. I at least feel like, even though they were vague with the Christian Harris thing, they didn't act like he didn't exist. And we and we actually saw him around. Like there were times where he was standing, he wasn't practicing. We've not seen Joe Mixon personally since the Kansas City playoff game.
Need an APB.
Like he's not been standing there. I do remember one time we were at
OTAs.
OTAs. Not even camp. OTAs. We're like, is that Mixon over there?
Well, that's the sideline and him sweat.
That looks like his body type. And then we find out it wasn't, but it's even different than, I mean, they are going out of their way to not talk about him, to act like he doesn't exist. Like, Tyler, what was it today? He was literally asked, they asked him about Joe Mixon. And like you said this the other day, if I were to tell you, all right, hey, guys, this is what D'Amico Ryan said in regards to Joe Mixon. His response will never, ever even lead you to believe that the question was about Joe Mixon. He doesn't even acknowledge it. This was it. They asked him yesterday, what's the latest here with Joe Mixon?
Yeah, for the PUP guys that are returning, it'll be Autry and Jay Reed.
That's what you get.
Like they're not. I mean, they're going out of their way to not even mention, like to mention or talk about him. It is. I am completely with you. Yeah, I think there is a real injury. There is more to this. There is absolute more to this. Right. I mean, we've seen guys suspended. They'll talk about anybody. Yeah. It is something. Something.
Well, I can't think of anything other than bucking the system and doing things your way medically that would put an organization in a spot where they don't cut you, but they act like they don't know you. You know what I mean? Like there's not like anything else is you get in trouble off the field. You go to jail. You break the law. You get caught, you know, with PEDs or any kind of drug, whatever. Like you address it, you cut them, or you address it and do like they did with Jimmy Ward, and you keep him around.
They've
and you
said
see
more about Jimmy Ward.
Yeah. It's wild, man. It's wild.
They said more about Jimmy Ward.
That's the other part of it, Ron, that leads me. Like, I think they've got to be really careful of what they say about Joe Mixon if indeed they do go back and try to recoup some of the money.
I agree with that.
You know, right. It's the only thing that makes it make sense.
Yeah. Last night on the Coaches Show, which you should catch every Monday after us at 5 o'clock, D'Amico spoke about the offense and the offensive identity that we saw Sunday. And I think it poses a conversation we need to have. We'll do that coming up next.